Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Is wrestling.
Welcome everyone to the very first episode of Wrestling is Life is Wrestling with Cody Diener. I am Cody Diener. I am a professional wrestler. I'm a professional wrestling producer. I am a professional motivational speaker. I'm a professional merchandise shilling salesman. I am a professional dad, father of four, a proud husband to a beautiful wife. And now I am saying, after a lot of contemplating, I've decided to jump into the podcasting world, and I can say I am a professional podcaster. This is Wrestling is Life is Wrestling, and I'm hoping, the plan is that this podcast is going to be different than all the other podcasts that you might have in your feed right now, because yes, this is going to be a wrestling podcast, but it's also a life podcast, because I have learned in my life that wrestling is life and life is wrestling. I am obsessed with professional wrestling. I have been since I was a young kid, and I can't help but watch wrestling and think about all the life lessons that I've learned through professional wrestling. And when I walk through my normal life, I'm constantly seeing connections to professional wrestling in my life. And that old saying, you know, does art imitate life or does life imitate art? Well, both always happen at the same time, and both are always happening in the professional wrestling world, especially for me. And I'm someone who's very privileged that I have access to many successful professional wrestlers. I'm friends with many successful professional wrestlers, and I plan on having them on this show to not just talk to them about what has made them successful in the professional wrestling business, but what has made them successful in their life. What kind of life lessons have they learned that have helped them succeed in professional wrestling? So if you are a wrestling fan, you are going to get a lot out of this podcast. But if you are just somebody who really is striving to succeed more in other facets of your life, I think you're going to get a lot of takeaways from not just this podcast, but specifically from this episode, because I'm starting hot. I'm starting with episode number one, with the walking weapon, Josh Alexander. Josh Alexander, for many of you wrestling fans, you will know this and all the accomplishments that he's had. But I mean, he's a former Impact Tag Team Champion. He's an Impact X Division Champion, a World Heavyweight Champion with Impact Wrestling. This guy has done it all. He's super successful professional wrestler, but also a very successful man in his personal life. He's happily married. He has two kids of his own, and we're going to dive into that. And we're going to talk about all the things that have made him become successful in his life and his career. I think you're going to love this first part one episode of Josh Alexander. Next week, we'll have part two. But if you want to get the entire episode ad-free, you can go and become a patron on my Patreon. It's patreon.com/Cody Diener. On there, you are going to get every single episode. It's not going to be split into halves. It's going to get the full thing. You'll get it early and ad-free over at patreon.com/Cody Diener. That's one way that you can help support me. Another way you can help support me is buy a t-shirt over at ProWrestlingTees.com/Cody Diener. All kinds of awesome stuff there. Maybe you want a cameo, want an inspirational video sent from me personally to you or friend or family member. That's cameo.com/Cody Diener. If you are a business that wants me to help you sell your product, your business, your service, whatever it is, I love free stuff. Send me some free stuff and I'll sell it for you. And we will have a wonderful business relationship. You can advertise on this podcast at ads@CodyDiener.com. That's ads@CodyDiener.com. Go and support me by going to my YouTube channel at Cody Diener Podcast. I'm at Cody Diener for all of my socials. You can also just rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. Give me a 5-star review. Give me a review. Type something in the comments and the review of whatever platform you're listening to this on right now. And if you give me a cool enough and most wicked awesome review, I will read it on the podcast and name you by name. So those are just some of the ways that you can help support me as I give this podcast to you for free each and every week. This is a long time coming. I've been thinking about doing a podcast for a couple years. And for a couple years, I have told myself all the reasons why I shouldn't do a podcast. And just in the last few months, I switched my thinking. And rather than focusing on the negative, I focused on the positive and started to tell myself all the reasons why I should jump into podcasting. And I'm so glad I did. And one of those reasons is I get to have amazing conversations with awesome people like Josh Alexander. I think you are really going to enjoy this conversation and get a lot out of it. So let's jump into it. This is episode 1, part 1 with the walking weapon, Josh Alexander. You were one of the top guys on my list that I wanted to talk to when I decided I wanted to jump into the crazy saturated world of podcasting. So we've known each other for a while. I feel like I've gotten to know you a lot more in the last couple of years, but we've known each other for a long time, but I don't feel like I really got to know you until the last couple of years. Do you remember, the first time we met?
Yeah. My first show for GCW, May 24th, 2006.
Okay. You're good with dates, man.
Yeah. It was like a Thursday night.
Oh, yeah. The Thursday shows.
It was like you and Tyson Dukes, and you chopped each other like 7,000 times.
Which wouldn't have been my idea.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I went to that show. I wrestled in like some crazy six-way because, you know, whoever was booking needed to put a six-way on every show.
Yeah, of course.
And yeah, that's how I got my foot in the door. And that would be the first show we ever did together and probably the first time we actually met. I saw you wrestle in Brantford a handful of times before that. But
okay, so how long were you going to indies before you started like training or working? Were you going to indies, local indies at all then, if you saw me in Brantford, or were you just training at that time?
I was training at that time. Like I went to UWA Hardcore the night before I started training.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And that's how I met all the like LLWA kids, because they would all go to those shows and stuff like that. And I started the very next day. But then after that, I didn't know indie wrestling existed. So other than that one UWA show, because I got a leaflet at a SmackDown show, and yeah, they brought me around to like Brantford PWA and PWX and wherever, Tilsonburg, you know what I mean? And then it just snowballed from there.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know indies existed until, yeah, right before I started training as well. It just opened up this whole other world that was like, wait a minute. I could tell that the guys, they were talented, but you also knew like, well, these guys aren't on TV. So they're like normal dudes. So no, like normal dudes can do this, and I'm a normal dude. So maybe there's actually a possibility that this could happen. Was that your thinking on it, or?
Yes and no. Like I had no, like I tell the story all the time that like, I had no self-esteem as a teenager. I was an overweight kid. When I looked at wrestling, I saw people like Randy Orton and Batista, yada, yada.
Okay.
But then when I discovered independent wrestling kind of in the same way, like I saw when I went to the UWA Hardcore show, you saw kids like Jeff Fleury and Rip Impact and all these people. And I was like, I don't know if they can do it. I think I can do it. They're not 6'5" and like jacked out of their minds. So
sure.
I went to that school the next day solely because I wanted to see what a ring felt like. I didn't have any intention of getting in a ring and trying anything. And they kind of made me. And when they made me, I took my first bumps, and all of a sudden, like, I remember Justin Sane was the guy that was in like the bump line in front of me. And when I took my first bumps, I got back in the bump line and he was like, man, I've never seen somebody pick it up so fast. And like, it was like this bomb went off inside me of like, I got a compliment. Like, I might be good at something. What? I got to keep doing this. And it just,
So as a kid, you didn't have that thing that you were good at, like even as a young kid, like really young, there wasn't a thing that you had that gave you any sort of confidence, whether it was a sport or art or something. Like you didn't have a thing.
Not that I remember, man. Like I remember I was good at math. I would always get like pushed ahead a grade during math class. I'd have to go to the grade fours when I was in grade three and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like, it was never like a thing that I was like so proud of. It was just like, oh, okay, the teacher's making me go over here.
Right. So were you watching wrestling at that age then? Like since you were really young, or you didn't watch it till later?
My grandmother was a huge Macho Man fan with Miss Elizabeth. So like I sat on her lap for WrestleMania 4 to watch, you know, the whole tournament and stuff like that. And she followed that. And like my grandma was like the prototypical 4'11" sweet old lady, you know, that has never said a swear word in her life, but she loved like wrestling just because of the love story with Macho Man and Liz. But my family hated it. Like they never watched it. Like my stepdad was a NASCAR fan. Like wrestling was like this dumbest thing ever to him. So if I even tried to put it on TV, he would shut it off right away. But when Stone Cold was coming up and wrestling was starting to boom to the Attitude Era, it kind of was unavoidable. And I was at an age where I could watch on my own TV now. So it was just tape trading with people at my school that actually, because I had three channels where I lived. So the kids at school that had cable recorded on VHS, and Tuesdays I would watch Raw and Nitro and like so
right.
and
so forth. Yeah. So one of the things that I want to ask you and ask all the people that I'm interviewing, which I think we will get some interesting answers on, because this podcast is about the connection of wrestling is life is wrestling and how they intertwine. And I'm talking with my friends that are fellow wrestlers and are successful. So one thing I want to talk about is like life lessons and how those life lessons helped us become successful in wrestling. But even before that, I'm always curious, what life lessons did you learn as a wrestling fan? So you sitting on your grandma's knee watching Macho and Elizabeth, you're probably going to be different life lessons than watching Stone Cold crushing beers and whatever. But do you think that there was some kind of lesson that you took away, maybe even subconsciously sitting on your grandma's knee and watching that?
Yeah. Like for me, it was like, because I had the contrast of my stepdad being in the room, being like, why are you watching this dumb stuff and all that? And it was just like, the lesson I think I took away from it was like, you can like whatever you want if you enjoy it. Like my grandmother, who would never say a crossword to anybody, would turn right away and be like, let me like what I like immediately. You know what I mean? So like, if I can say anything from just being a wrestling fan, it was that. It was just, if you like something, even if it's weird to like the bulk of people in your school, like wear that Degeneration X shirt and be the weird wrestling guy, if that's what makes you happy. And like, that's kind of what I did.
That's cool. Man, there's so many takeaways from that thinking. I think that's so true. My grandma as well, or my great grandmother, who I never knew, when I started to love wrestling, I didn't know where it came from. And my mom told me, I know where it came from. It came from your great grandma. Like, what do you mean? She goes, she used to go to all the live events and hit the wrestlers with her purse. And she was also, as my mom said, the sweetest, most unassuming lady, but something about professional wrestling like caught her and brought her out of her shell and made her swing a purse at another human being, where again, she wouldn't have said a swear word or a curse word in her life, but wrestling brought that out of her. And she just, for whatever reason, this church going old lady that played the organ also loved pro wrestling. So yeah, like what you like, and don't assume that you can also pigeonhole a wrestling fan either, because they come in all shades, right?
Yeah, that, and like just now as a father, especially, just like if I can teach a life lesson to my kids to just like not conform. Like so many kids these days are just like, oh, that kid's wearing that, or he has this cell phone, or you know what I mean? I need that game because like the cool kid has that game. Like if it doesn't make you happy, just follow. For me, wrestling, this is like, it's never been like a big dream of mine. I never thought it was attainable. It's just been step by step because it's made me happy. And I've just kind of followed my heart through the entire thing. And I've gotten this far doing that. So, I think I live a pretty like happy life because of that, because I do what I want that makes me happy. And if I can pass that on to my kids, just don't conform to other people, don't go to college and try to be an accountant because somebody says that's good for you if you don't want to do it, stuff like that, right?
Yeah. Well, this is one of the reasons why I want to talk to you. There's so much that you just said that I kind of want to I want to dive into. One thing, the reason I want to talk to you is I listen to a lot of motivational podcasts. I'm a motivational speaker, so I go into schools wanting to motivate young kids, and what I do is I kind of take them through my journey of wanting to be a professional wrestler. I tell them they should dream big and have goals and strive towards those goals. And whatever that goal may be, no matter how crazy it is, like, strive towards it. And most motivational speakers or most motivational people that have a podcast or whatever, that's one of their number one things that they always say. But I find your story so interesting because you're saying, I didn't even have a goal or a dream. You were just like, you didn't, that wasn't the way that you thought. So I'm trying, that's not the way I am. So I'm a curious person that always tries to, like, what makes somebody tick? And to me, I see you and the things that you've accomplished. It's so inspiring. It's so motivating to so many people with everything you've done, your fitness journey, your wrestling journey, your life journey, and where you are and what you've been able to build for yourself as a family man. But you don't have the stereotypical mindset of, yep, I had this goal, I manifested it, and like all that stuff. So where does that come from? Is that, do you think, is that because of how you were raised? Maybe your childhood experience? Or where does that come from for you, do you think?
So me not, like, not having dreams and setting goals and stuff like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 100% my upbringing. Like, I kind of had a home, but I kind of came from a broken home. Like, my mom, I come from a long line of people that had dreams and never achieved them, basically. And the person I look to the most is my biological father more than anybody, because he was a musician and an artist. He could look at you and with a crayon and a scrap piece of paper, draw a perfect portrait. Like, he did it of me. I have some in my house. I just moved. I just found all the old stuff. Or he wasn't like a book smart person whatsoever, but he could pick up an instrument at the age of 5 and with his ear learn how to play like a song. You know what I mean? He was just very gifted as an artist. So he wanted to be a musician. His album's on Spotify. Like, it's something that I go back to now and I listen to. It doesn't get, like, he never made it big, but like his songs would have been in the credits of movies and stuff like that.
So, oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. And he always wanted to be like the rock star or whatever when he was 20, and then like a country musician and stuff like that, but he never achieved it, you know? Mm. And that's because, like, now, you know, in hindsight, looking back, I think he didn't have the dream to really push himself either. He just kind of self-sabotaged himself before he could actually fail, which is something that I did time and time again throughout my childhood. And it was also because, like, my stepfather, kind of a prick, I would say I want to do something, you'd be like, you can't do that. Like, you can'ts were far more than you can do whatever you want. And like, in my house, I don't think can't is a word you can use, you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to prop everybody up at all times because I don't want that. You can't achieve something. If you want to do something, you want it that bad. Like, I think, like you said, like with me, with fitness, with wrestling and stuff like that, I've kind of willed this into existence. Mm-hmm. But that didn't happen until I discovered wrestling.
Yeah. We have so many similarities, dude. Like, in terms of our upbringing, my dad, and we've talked about this privately, you know, I also had my biological father had his issues, and he suffered from mental illness and he was an alcoholic. So yes, he self-sabotaged, but there was, you know, a lot of deep reasons as to why those things happen. But I, very much like you, where you're saying, okay, if can't was a huge word in your home when you were young, that's not going to be in your home as the dad. So I've learned a lot of things, what not to do from my upbringing. Yeah. And I'm applying those daily with my kids. And I'm also finding myself, and maybe you've done this as a dad, I'll say a phrase that my dad used to say all the time. I'll catch myself and go, crap. And because I hated that as a kid. So I'll either stop it, or it'll be a phrase like the one I always hated was, well, why do I have to do that, dad? Because I said so. My dad, I say that all the time, and I keep that one. because it's it's just easier, even though I hated that as a kid. But yeah, like learning, looking back and going, okay, what are the things that held me back in a negative way? And how do I make sure that I'm not going to do that both to my kids and for yourself, probably too, as a trainer as well. When you opened a wrestling school, I'm sure there was maybe some things that you were doing with your students as well.
Yeah. Like whether it's wrestling students or just wrestlers that come to me, like throughout Ontario, and now it's grown even further. I have like kids that I work shows with that'll come up to me for advice, and like they stay in contact with me and they're always asking me stuff like that. And I just try to, like, the problem is, and you probably know this too, you can tell somebody something, the exact same thing, to like 100 different people, and only two people it'll really resonate with and actually help them.
Yes.
And they have to hear it from somebody else. Like I had to hear it from the right people along the way. And I'm very thankful that I did at certain times, because those are the way I learned my lessons. But yeah, it's just always trying to be positive and propping these kids up, whether, you know, they want to be a wrestler or they want to be whatever they want to be. And it's weird for me because I've never been somebody to be in that headspace. Like I've tried listening to Tony Robbins. I've tried watching The Secret. I've tried manifesting, you know, everything you can accomplish. And it's not something for me. For me, I've just found from when I started training with Divine, especially, the one thing I took away was that, like, this is all my responsibility. Nobody else is going to like pick up the slack for me, which is something I seemed like I was always waiting for. If I really want something, I got to take it. And now it's just snowballed into this thing where at 36 years old, like if I'm not doing something every day, if I'm not moving or doing some form of work, I feel like I'm completely useless and my day's ruined. So every day I got to do something. I just got to keep pushing it further and further.
All right, guys, let's take a time out here and shill some stuff. I'm not going to be shilling stuff to you alone. I've brought a very special person on this podcast right now to help me shill some t-shirts, some video cameos, some advertisements, some all kinds of stuff. And that person is my son. Hello, son.
Hi, Dad.
What's your name?
Abel.
How old are you?
9.
You're not 9.
Yeah.
Aren't you like 15?
No.
13?
No.
12. You're 9? You don't sound 9. Do you think your voice sounds like a 9-year-old
when
you listen to on those headphones? What?
No.
No, no. Are you you sound like a 15-year-old right now?
No. 20.
20. You don't want to be 20. Trust me. You want to be 9 forever.
Yeah.
Okay, my 9-year-old son. So, do you have any Cody Deaner t-shirts?
Yeah.
Are they awesome?
Yeah.
Does everybody say that you're the coolest when you wear them?
No.
Oh.
But they should.
You see, I want my listeners to know right now that I have not prepped my son to say anything. I've just said, be honest. And he was just honest with you. He doesn't get anyone telling him that he's awesome when he wears his Cody Deaner t-shirts, but he should, because his t-shirts are awesome, right, Abel?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they can go to prowrestlingtees.com/Cody Deaner. Should they go there?
Yeah.
Okay, there's lots of styles there. They can go there. I also want people to go to my Patreon. If they go to my patreon.com/Cody Deaner, they get exclusive content. So they get extra interviews from people that they're listening to right now that nobody else is going to get. They're going to get special messages from me. They're going to actually even see some videos of your sisters that we did when I was testing out the equipment that we're using right now. All kinds of behind the scenes stuff that from this podcast is going to be on that Patreon. All kinds of stuff from me on the road. All kinds of cool stuff. Is that neat?
Yeah.
Would you want to watch videos of me behind the scenes, never before seen footage that no one except for exclusive patrons can get?
Yeah, probably.
But you get to see me every day.
Yeah.
So it's not really that cool, is it?
But if I was not your son, I would.
Yes. If you were not my son, it would be cool, right? If you're a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
Because people are like my fan. People think that I'm cool.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because you're awesome.
What makes me awesome?
Because you're a wrestler.
And that is pretty cool, right?
Yep.
Are you going to be a wrestler someday?
Yep.
What's your wrestling name going to be?
I have two different ones. Airplane Able and Tsunami.
Oh, man. I'm not even going to ask any further. You're going to have to tell me about Airplane Able and Tsunami sometime later. I'm going to have you hold this microphone down. That's okay. Better, because if you hold it up here, then you breathe into the microphone, and our listeners don't want to hear that. They hated that I just breathed in the microphone with my nose right now. Cameo.com, you get a special video from me, which would be cool if you weren't my son.
Yeah.
And rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast, because if people do that, then I might get some advertisers. If there's an advertiser out there right now, they can email me and let me know that they want to advertise their product on this podcast. What's my email address?
Wait, can I have the paper?
Oh, yes. Here's the paper. Can you find it on all the chicken scratch? You know where it is? I'm going to give you a hint. It's right there.
Ads@CodyDiener.com.
Ads@CodyDiener.com. So if somebody wants to advertise me, then they just go, or advertise with me, they go to ads@CodyDiener.com, and we'll sell some stuff for them, and they're going to get some sweet sales, and you can help me sell some stuff, right?
Yeah.
You're going to come on here again with me and sell some products?
Yeah.
And tell people why it's awesome?
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to be honest.
Yep.
Because you were honest already with my listeners today and told them that you don't even get any compliments with my t-shirts. My son was just staring me right in the eyes with his glassy blue eyes. I should have had a video of this. It would have been really good to put up on my Patreon. Maybe we'll have to do that sometime too.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell a joke to my listeners? Actually, I want them to get to know you one little bit more. I want you to tell them what your favorite subject is in school.
P.E.
P.E. What's that mean for... I know what that means, but some people, they might be listening to this in a different country and don't even know what P.E. stands for. What's P.E.?
Gym.
Yes. So the P.E. stands for physical education, but that just means gym. You play sports. Yeah. What kind of sports do you play?
Dodgeball, soccer, and sometimes hockey.
Oh, man. We're Canadian, so we play hockey as Canadians, don't we?
Yep.
Yeah. All right, well, do you want to maybe give our listeners like a sweet knock-knock joke, and then I can press this cool button on my thing, and you'll hear what it sounds like? Okay, give me a knock-knock joke.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Kanga.
Ganga?
Kanga.
Kanga? Kanga who?
You need to get your English checked.
That was so good that I think the crowd went wild. Oh, man, they like that joke. Now they're chanting for you. Able, able, able. I think they might want another joke. Should we give them another joke or make them wait till next time?
Another joke.
Another joke?
Yeah.
All right. Quiet down, please. Quiet down, audience. Able's going to give us another joke. One more.
Okay. What? This one's a hard one. It might take you a while. So, what has a village with no houses, an ocean with no water, and a forest with no trees?
Oh my gosh. I have no idea. You have to repeat that one more time, though. A village with no houses, yep. An ocean
with no water,
and a forest with no trees?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What?
A map.
The crowd is amazed. I wonder if anybody would have got that. Somebody out there might be smarter than me. But thanks for helping me, Abel. I appreciate it. Can you come back here again sometime soon?
Yeah.
Okay, say bye to my listeners.
Bye.
What an awesome life lesson. Now you just answered one of my questions I wanted to ask was, what life lessons did you learn in wrestling school and take away that have stuck with you? And taking responsibility, you are responsible for yourself. Oh man, what an important lesson that I see so many not just young wrestlers that come to me for advice, but young people when I'm going around and doing my speeches, and they come to me with a lot of excuses, mm-hmm. right? And as I'm asking them what their goals are, and they're telling me, well, I want to do this, but I can't because of this. Or the wrestlers, it's like, well, I want to try to get this a contract or get this company to notice me, but I can't because of this. And it's these excuses and this victim mentality that they have. And you have to be responsible for yourself, because no one's going to pick up the slack for you in any way. But we do need, I think we need mentors and friends to come alongside us, not to pick up the slack for us, but for, at least from my experience, I was so lucky that I made a really good tight group of friends early on in my wrestling journey, so that when I did have those days where I walk out to the ring and I'm wrestling in front of 8 people, mm-hmm. and I look around and go, wait a minute, this isn't the dream and goal I manifested for myself, that you start to question, you realize, oh wait, I'm not alone in this. There's the other 15 guys that are on the show with me are all in the same boat, and they're going to go to the show tomorrow or next weekend and keep going. So I got to as well, and encouraging one another. Who did you have those guys early on when you started to work in the indies?
Well, yeah, for me, like when I got into wrestling, the one thing that really made me stick to it more than the wrestling part, because like even when I first started training, no matter how many, you know, kids at that school said I was talented and picked it up so fast or whatever, like I never thought it was possible that I would be booked on like a local Ontario indie, let alone, you know, doing what I'm doing now. It was just the sense of community that I found. Like I left high school and I left my group of friends, which was like 3 other guys. We were the wrestling geeks in the school. We were the drama geeks. You know, I might've played basketball, but they didn't do any sports. So like that was my identity. And then I left and I went to university, and like, I was never a party kid because like my dad was an alcoholic and I never wanted to fall in those pitfalls or anything like that. So I had problems bonding with people, and I wasn't doing any activities at university because I was not an athlete or anything like that. So when I found wrestling, it was just this like-minded community where like, yeah, I've made lifelong friends right away, and they might not have the same goals or dreams, but this is something that makes them happy and makes me happy. We can bond over this and build a relationship. And like, for me, I'm an only child. I'm really cool being on my own, you know, for days at a time. Sometimes I need to be alone, mm-hmm. but like I need people around me that actually, you know, care, because one thing like I really enjoy that I found is like, I like helping other people. I like having people in my life that, you know, I can, you know, prop up when they need it, or just be around to be like a listening ear, stuff like that. Cause I learn a lot from that. And like, it's been something that's been really important in my life. And without wrestling and finding that community, I don't know if I ever would have found one. Right.
I never expected that when I got into the world of wrestling. I wasn't expecting to find a community. Like you said, that wasn't something that I was expecting at all, mm-hmm. but to find such a tight knit group of friends and a community of like-minded people. And I tell people this, the only thing I can think of, I'm sometimes wonder about making this connection and if it's inappropriate or not, but after talking to my friends that are in the military and been in an actual battle on a battlefield, I explained to them how tight wrestlers are. And I think it's somewhat like maybe going to the battlefield, and they tell me, oh yeah, that's the same kind of brotherhood we have in the military, in the sense that if me and you get into the ring, I'm picking you up and I'm giving you a body slam. If I don't do my job right, you could die. Mm-hmm. Like you're literally holding the life of somebody else in your hands. Sometimes you met them an hour before, and all of a sudden you're going to battle, and actually each other's lives are in your hands. You grow pretty damn close to each other in that situation, because you get through that situation together. Sometimes you end up having amazing chemistry. You have like this kick-ass match. And then afterwards you're like, yep, you're my friend now. Like, and that's how I've met so many of my friends for life, is 20 years ago, we had an awesome match together. We're like, yep. Whatever it was, that bond, that unbreakable bond, it's there, and it's, you know, it's there for life now.
I've never thought of it, but like, yeah, you have to share a great deal of trust with the other person you're in the ring with. And like, maybe that it does like get that bonding experience like happening. Like if I go out there, like I always say this to people and like, they might think I'm weird as a wrestler. I don't know. Like I can't be friends with somebody until I wrestle them really. Like we can be like acquaintances and stuff like that.
I understand that. Yeah,
but then the second we wrestled, like it happened with me and Jake something. We knew each other for years. We were always like buddy buddies. And then we wrestled once and it was so kick ass and awesome. And he was like amazing. And I came to the back and it was just like we leveled up in our friendship right away. Mm-hmm. And it was just like such a weird thing. And I've done that with so many people.
Yes.
And it's just this, cause like that connection, that trust, that like bonding experience of like going out there and doing that thing and being successful at it. I think it just brings everybody together.
Yeah. I had a similar experience with Khan, and I saw Big Khan on a lot of shows and I thought he was awesome. And we kind of struck up a friendship just because I could tell he thought about wrestling the same as I did, but then we wrestled and had a really goofy, I'm going to try to body slam you match on a hardcore show. And the crowd loved it. And he loved it. I'm like, okay, me and you are buddies now. And he immediately became one of like my brother. So then when his name came up as a possible, you know, as a possible person to be bringing into Impact, I'm like, hell yeah, bring in my buddy, because he's my friend for life now. Like, absolutely. That's just one guy of many that I've had that experience with. Like you're super successful, you're champion, you've been on television, you've done all these things, and we're going to get to all that. I'll be putting you over a little bit later, but you can't dip run. But I don't think a lot of people can relate to the struggles of independent wrestling and even understand when I talk to my civilian friends about what I do on a weekend on the independent wrestling scene. They don't believe me and what my weekend was, because that just blows their mind. Like what did life on the indies in the earlier part of your career, what did that teach you about yourself as a man?
Oof. Well, I always say I would be like homeless or dead if I didn't have wrestling and indie wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't know why, like it was probably my upbringing. Like I didn't get taught responsibility really. So when I went away to university and I had like this money saved up from working my Dairy Queen job or whatever it was, like I blew through that really quick because I had no idea what the value of a dollar was and all this other stuff. But I had this wrestling thing I wanted to do, and I started working the independents, and I realized that I need gas money to drive to all these random towns all over Ontario if I want to get booked and start like building my career. And it made me happy again. So, you know, I got a job. I got the worst job. You know, anybody I talk to says that a tire technician, somebody that changes tires on the side of the highway for transport trucks and trailers and construction equipment, is one of the worst jobs in the world. I did that job for a decade as a pro wrestler on the indies because I could get time off, because most people in that industry have problems with drinking or other things like that. It's just it's an issue. So me being so dependable to be there every Monday at 5 a.m. and work my 12 hours every day, you know, would allow me to get Fridays off every once in a while for shows and stuff like that. And it was just this. It taught me that I loved wrestling more than basically anything too, because I would work those shifts. I would drive straight to Chicago. I would wrestle a show and I would get in the car and I would drive straight home to get back here in time so that I could punch in for my Saturday morning shift for my job, so I could pay my rent or so I could buy my new singlet or, you know, stuff like that. It was just, and like I dated girls along the way and they were just like, they were shaking their heads constantly about this sacrifice I was making. Like, why are you driving your cars into the ground before they're paid off? Why are you spending all your money on this spandex instead of this to go wrestle on these silly shows on the weekends in front of, you know, if you're lucky, 200, 300 people. Yeah. And like, it just boiled down to like, it just makes me happy. Like, this is what I want to do. And I would rather do that than go to your dad's barbecue on Saturday. Like, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Yeah.
And like, it just taught me that like, it all boils back to the same thing, like that sense of responsibility to take care of everything you have, because if you don't, then it'll sacrifice the thing that makes you happy.
Yes. And you really learn a couple things that really stood out to me and what you said was, one, you really learn what if you truly love it or not, right? With when you struggle on the indies. I remember my first wrestling road trip, I drove. I was so new to traveling, so I had a minivan, so I was the driver. So I drove like 2 hours out of the way to Niagara Falls to pick guys up rather than pick them up on the highway because I'd never done this before. So I'm like, yeah, I'll just come pick you up. So like 2 hours out of the way, then 8 hours to the show. We do the show, drive 8 hours back to drop them off, and then 2 hours back home to then. So I was up 24 hours straight just to go to work the next morning. And I was done and thought, when can I do that again? We have to do that again next weekend. Right. Where the other two of the other guys that were on the trip who aren't in the business anymore, they thought some of the road trips and stuff were of some of the stories that we experienced. They still tell to this day because it's the only wrestling road trip they ever made. But afterwards, their thought was, I can't do that again. I just got to do my local show. And that's an hour down the road because that was too much. And when I started to see, wait a minute. These guys are only doing the shows an hour away where I want to drive the 10 hours. Maybe I'm different than those guys. Maybe I am built for this. Mm-hmm. Realizing that you're built for the job, because that's what the job is. And that's one of the harder parts of the job. It's not learning the hip tosses and the back body drops, because like, that came quickly for me as well. It was, can you actually hack it and enjoy the life of a wrestler? Because a lot of guys realize that and their dream's over. You know, yeah. it immediately doesn't become their goal anymore because they realize what the life is like.
If a 2 hour drive's long for you, then wrestling is not for you. Like mm-hmm. My first weekend, like that I was on the road, was 2 months into training. I did it because somebody needed a ride to the show and I was going to ref the weekend. And it was a Chris Thorne tour in Northern Quebec.
Awesome. So
we left at 6 a.m. We didn't get to the hotel at this Indian Reserve till 4 a.m. the next day, driving mm-hmm. straight through, just stopping for gas. I did that show and I ended up having to wrestle on it because Chris Thorne said I was too big to be a referee. So two months into training, I wrestle, you know, my first match or whatever. And then we drove to another town that was 8 hours away, did that. And then I had to leave right away to drive back because the person I was driving had a show the next evening for UWA Hardcore. So we drove all the way back. I got into my dorm at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I remember I woke up at like 1 p.m. and I was like, oh, I got to get ready because I'm going to go watch that show tonight that I drove him back for. I wanted more already. And like, it's weird. Like some people are built for it. Some people have that passion and then it wanes over time and it really beats them down. But I don't think I've ever been beaten down by it. I've certainly had like moments where I'm burnt out, but it always comes back.
What did your dorm mates think of that life? Like, did you have friends or people that did they realize what you were doing on the weekend when Josh would just disappear and then show up?
I had two people that were pretty supportive that were like buddies of mine. And then like my dorm roommate and a few other people were just, you know, this is silly. Like he's going to play on weekends and stuff like that. And it's funny because like they all said that, and I've had hundreds, if not thousands of people do that along the way. And mm-hmm. I've had hundreds, if not thousands of people hit me up in the past 2-3 years to be mm-hmm. like, oh man, you followed your dream and you did it. That's so awesome.
Yep. Same.
I wish I could have done that. I'm just like, well, you could have, whatever your dream was, but
right.
It takes a risk, man. You gotta have the balls to jump off the cliff every once in a while and take that chance.
Have you been somebody that chases? I think I know the answer to this question, but maybe not. Do you chase or care about security? Because I feel like a lot of people don't take the risk because they're like, well, that risk, there's no security in it. So that's what stops them. They're like, I got to get that secure job. And this isn't secure, so I can't do it. Whereas I've never been somebody that, honestly, I don't care about security. Even though I have 4 kids now, you'd think it's, hey, man, you should probably start thinking about being secure. But I don't worry about that and stress about that. I'm more like, I got to do what I want to do, not do something because I have to do it. That's my thinking. Is that something you think about, especially now, maybe as a dad with kids, or were you like that when you started wrestling? Or
see the group of friends I mentioned, they all value security.
We are going to stop right there. That is the end of part one. Episode 1 with the walking weapon, Josh Alexander. I told you guys, I told you were going to get something out of this conversation. I know if you didn't get anything out of it, I know I got something out of it. I'm a buddy with Josh. We're friends. We talk about life together all the time personally, but in today's conversation, I learned things about Josh and his life that I never knew before. And I also learned things about myself. I mean, I'm inspired by talking with Josh and hearing the things that he's been able to overcome and just the mindset that he has when he approaches anything in life. It's so inspiring and motivating. And I don't know what I was expecting in terms of these conversations I was going to have these with my fellow wrestlers, because to tell them, hey, we're going to come on, you're going to talk to me, and we're going to talk about life, because wrestling is life is wrestling. That's the name of the podcast. And I want to talk to life about life with you and wrestling with you. Will you do it? That's kind of a very somewhat vague, but also daunting thing to be like, really? Okay, we're maybe going to get personal here. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to steer the conversation in the right way, or I'm new to this. I wasn't sure if, you know, my guests were going to open up, but I just want to thank Josh for opening up and being such an amazing first guest for Wrestling is Life is Wrestling with Cody Diener. And that's just the beginning. That was just part one of my interview with Josh. Next week, you're going to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast, and then you're going to get episode 2 automatically into your podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. And you're going to listen next week to part 2 with Josh, because it's just as inspiring. It's just as amazing. And I think you're also going to get some really cool things out of that. So just as a reminder, please, you're getting this podcast for free. If you want to support me in some way, you can buy a t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/Cody Diener. You can get a cameo at cameo.com/Cody Diener. You can go follow me on social media. Leave me a comment. Let me know what you're thinking of the podcast at Cody Diener. YouTube, there's going to be some YouTube links. There's going to be some shorts on there. If you go to youtube.com at Cody Diener podcast, at Cody Diener podcast on YouTube. If you have a business, or you know someone who has a business and they might want to advertise on this podcast, give them my email. My email is ads@codydiener.com, ads@codydiener.com. If you want to book me on your show, hey man, I love indies. I will be talking about that a lot on this podcast. Even though I wrestle with Impact Wrestling, I am still doing independent wrestling and loving it immensely. Go and book me. Book Cody at CodyDiener.com. I'd love to do an event with you. A training seminar, an appearance on your event. I love independent wrestling. And let me share that love with you at your event. That's book Cody at CodyDiener.com. Thank you guys. This is episode 1 is in the books. Like I said, I wasn't sure what I was going to be able to get out of my guest. I wasn't sure what I was going to be able to bring to this podcasting world, but hopefully you enjoyed this first episode of Wrestling is Life is Wrestling. If you want to support me through all those things I just said, amazing. If you can't do that, you can at least support me by telling your friends. If you can't go to patreon.com/Cody Diener and become a patron and get some amazing content, like behind the scenes of me starting this podcast. I got a bunch of videos of me setting up my equipment. I got some videos of me testing my equipment with my 2 young, beautiful daughters. Some very private, never before seen video that I'm only going to be sharing with my patrons over at patreon.com/Cody Diener. You're going to get early and ad-free shows. You're going to get all kinds of other awesome bells and whistles. If you can't do that, you can't afford that. I know money's tight for some people. You can just support me by telling a friend about this podcast. Let them know that you've heard about this, you and this new podcast. You downloaded it. You weren't sure what you were going to expect, but you listened to an amazing conversation with Cody Diener and Josh Alexander, and you think your friend should listen to it too. Please share with a friend and let them know they too should be listening to Wrestling is Life is Wrestling with Cody Diener. Thank you guys. We'll see you next week for episode 2. You guys rock.
Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Is wrestling.